A law firm experiences a ransomware attack and sues its MSP and solution provider for negligence. The case has all the elements of an MSP's nightmare. Services promised but not delivered. Hackers demanding huge amounts in ransom and backup files that, as it turns out, never existed. As an MSP owner, should you be concerned about this case? Might it set new and lower standards for liability for MSPs? Let's talk about it. Welcome to the Technology Bradcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Bradcast. Today, we are going to talk about a case that has been on the minds of industry insiders and MSP-related social media threads for the past few weeks, and I completely understand why. We have a case in which a law firm is suing its MSP for negligence. Acronis has been named as a defendant, and the whole thing centers around a major hack that made headlines when it happened. So it's caused the MSP industry to take notice and to wonder out loud if this is a forecast of the future. Is this changing the way liability is going to be viewed? Is this, you know, another reason for MSPs to worry? Well, here's the short answer. No. Unless the way you do things sucks. More on that in a moment. But I'm going to analyze the case for you. I'm going to tell you why I think it should be dismissed right now. And then I'll delve into where things went awry for the parties and explain how you, the MSP, can avoid becoming a defendant in a similar lawsuit. Okay, before we get into things, you might be asking yourself, hey Brad, where can I see you in person? Well, I'm imagining that that's what you're asking yourself. So, where can you see me? Any live educational events coming up? And the answer is, yeah, actually there are. In the next few months, I'll be in Nashville, I'll be in New Orleans, Indianapolis, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Denver. So if you live near any of those cities, message me on LinkedIn, drop me an email. I'll give you the exact dates, the venues, and all kinds of information so we can meet in person. So one other thing. In a few weeks, I will be making a major announcement. Yes, a major announcement about a platform that I have been working on for quite a while. I'm taking my 22 years of experience in the MSP legal world, coupling that with what I've learned, having counseled thousands of MSPs nationwide. And the result is going to change the way MSPs manage and offer their customer-facing agreements forever. It will. Want to get on the list to learn more as these updates happen, as I get closer to the announcement? Go to mspterms.com. That's mspterms.com. Click the Learn More button. Not much on the site right now, other than the Learn More. And you'll be added to the list of people who want to jump in at the ground level to learn about the platform that's engineered for MSPs. So, my shameless plug is now over, and let me get back to the matter at hand. What's this lawsuit all about? Let's start with the name. The litigation is captioned Mastagni Holsted. That's the name of the law firm. Mastagni Holsted versus Lantech. Also, in the defendant list is Acronis. A person named Terry Berg, who is apparently the owner of Lantech, the MSP, and so on. It's filed in Sacramento County in California. And if you're interested in reading the actual text of the complaint, we have it. Message me. I'll send you a copy. The plaintiff in the litigation is a law firm. According to the complaint, the law firm entered into an oral agreement with Lantech, a California MSP. Now, under this agreement, Lantech was supposed to provide advice, recommendations, monitoring services for the law firm, all kinds of things. And Lantech also, among other things, recommended that the law firm migrate its on-premise storage servers to the cloud using Acronis' well-known backup solution. Wonderful. So everything seems hunky-dory until the law firm's network gets hacked. Then everything seems to fall apart. The law firm can't access its servers, can't access its data. It's sort of dead in the water. The hackers do what hackers tend to do. They demand a ransom to restore the data. And the law firm says, yeah, you know what, before I pay any sort of ransom, let me go get my backup. Law firm asks MSP to restore the data using the cloud backup solution, and it was then that the parties discovered the law firm's data had not been backed up. Why? We don't know, at least not yet, but having no other choice, the law firm paid the ransom, got its data back, and then did what law firms do. They sued. In this case, the law firm sued Lantech and its owner for negligence, as well as Acronis, and demanded $1 million or more in damages. Seems like the law firm might have a pretty good case, right? I mean, you know, they got hacked. The MSP was in charge, supposedly. They had a backup that didn't exist, or it's unclear why it didn't exist, but it didn't exist. So, seems pretty good, right? Well, not so fast. Let's break it down. The plaintiff in this case broke the cardinal rule of lawyering. Namely, you never represent yourself in court. Remember I said the plaintiff was a law firm? Well, the law firm that got hacked is the same law firm that filed the complaint. So let's put aside for a moment the obvious problem with this, like you might not be able to see things objectively when you're both the party plaintiff and the lawyer. But the bigger problem I see is that the lawyer who filed this litigation doesn't appear to have a strong understanding about managed services, cloud solutions, IT services, or the benefits and limitations of managed services. In fact, given that the law firm thought it was a pretty good idea in the first place to have an oral agreement with an MSP to provide all kinds of things like monitoring and cybersecurity, I tend to think that the law firm didn't quite value the IT services or understand what it needed to do or what services it needed to purchase. It sort of treated it, you know, in a very casual way. And that's a red flag that maybe the plaintiff doesn't get it. And maybe the plaintiff should have hired counsel to file a lawsuit that's familiar with the MSP industry and IT services in general. But, you know, here the plaintiff didn't do that, and as a result, the complaint reads like a fuzzy, ambiguous tale that throws around IT terms without a strong coherence, without a strong foundation. I mean, let me give you an example. In one section of the complaint, the plaintiff says that the MSP was to provide advice, recommendations, and monitoring services regarding its computer network and cybersecurity. Well, what does that mean? What does monitoring services for cybersecurity mean? Is that an endpoint solution? Is that a solution that monitors but doesn't prevent or remediate? Is that a firewall? What is that? And then later in the complaint, the plaintiff says that the MSP was responsible for law firm cybersecurity, but it gives no details about the solutions that were supposed to be implemented. Not one detail. Not one. So essentially, the law firm says, hey, the MSP was supposed to protect me, and it didn't, and I got hacked. The problem is that the law firm never actually says, if the cybersecurity was in place, we wouldn't have been hacked. The law firm hasn't alleged any causal relationship between the lack of cybersecurity and the hack itself, probably because the law firm has no idea what cybersecurity was supposed to be in place or whether the cybersecurity that was in place was simply circumvented. I mean, this kind of ambiguity will usually result in a dismissal of the complaint, and it requires the plaintiff to refile the matter with more details, and I fully expect that to happen here. But, you know, that's legal stuff. That doesn't help you, the MSP, right? Let me start throwing some things out for you guys to think about. Okay, we're going to start with the basic premise that the relationship between an MSP and its customer is entirely a creature of contract. This means that the contract will always control the scope of services and the responsibilities of the parties. Put it simply, if it isn't in the contract, then it's not going to be a requirement. Okay? So if you, for example, go into, let's say you go into an MSP, a customer's environment, and you think they need six different solutions, but you offer the owner of the company, you offer them four. So instead of doing A, B, C, D, E, F, you're going to do A, B, C, D. That's the contract. What happens if something goes wrong and it would have been prevented had you provided E and F? Well, unless you made some sort of crazy promise that you're going to go beyond the scope of what you're providing and make sure everything will always be great, the only thing that you're required to provide is service A, service B, service C, service D. There is no higher authority, no fiduciary duty, no extended requirement of an MSP to provide things that are not in the contract, which is why, and this brings us back to the case, right? Why the contract is so important and why the fact that they entered into an oral agreement is crucial to this whole thing. If the relationship between the law firm and Lantech was limited to the terms of the contract, then the details of that contract are very important. But given that they had an oral agreement, we may never know what the exact terms are. We'll never know. And if the plaintiff can't articulate with specificity what services it was supposed to receive, then this case is going to be very difficult for that plaintiff to win, because the MSP is going to turn around and say, I never promised you that. Well, you were going to give us cybersecurity. No, we never promised you that. Well, you were going to give me MFA. No, we never promised you that. And we didn't bill you for it either. You see, this is why, as an MSP customer, you don't want to enter into an oral agreement, because you're never sure of what you're receiving, the time frames in which you're going to get it. You know, you never know whether the services will cover your needs. But as an MSP, and this is so important, you never want to have an oral agreement, because you'll always fail to manage your customer's expectations. Oral agreements fail to manage customer expectations. Your customers will always think they're getting more services than they're getting, and a deeper, more comprehensive service than they're getting. And when bad things happen, your customers will point the finger at you. Oral agreements are a horrible thing to rely on, so don't do it anymore. Now, another issue with this lawsuit, and something I want you guys to think about, is that the plaintiff tries to argue that the MSP acted negligently by recommending that the law firm migrate to a cloud-based storage solution. Is that a problem? I mean, is it negligent when they have an on-premise solution and you're saying, I think we should migrate to the cloud? Let me tell you this. I cannot conceive of any scenario in which a plaintiff, including the law firm in this case, could persuasively argue that migrating an on-premise storage solution to cloud-based solution is negligent. Cloud-based solutions are safer, they are more reliable, they are more accessible, they are more manageable. There is no way that someone could say, you moved me into the cloud? That's crazy, that's reckless, that's, no, that's wrong, I'm going to sue you. But that's what the plaintiff is trying to say in this case. And I'm telling you, that argument will fail. Do not be dissuaded from recommending people move into the cloud because of this. Cloud is still the way to go. Now, not everything the plaintiff said should just be dismissed out of hand. I mean, one argument the plaintiff makes actually, I think, deserves some further attention. And that argument relates to the fact that the backup solution that was supposed to be implemented failed. According to the plaintiff, after the hack occurred, the parties discovered for the first time the backup had not actually backed up any files. That's disconcerting, okay? That's disconcerting for sure. And I'm wondering how that happened. Did the MSP fail to configure the solution correctly? Did Acronis' solution fail? Did the plaintiff, with its obvious lack of IT knowledge, do something that circumvented the solution? It might have caused the backup solution to fail? I mean, we don't know yet. These questions need to be answered and might present the strongest case for the plaintiff. You see, the plaintiff's other arguments all relate to an oral agreement. You were supposed to give me this service. You were supposed to give me that service. And there's always going to be a difference of opinion about scope and timing and so on. But the failure of a backup, when the migration clearly occurred, the failure of a backup is something that can be seen without having to guess at the terms of the oral agreement. That's going to be the key to this case, okay? So is this a landmark case for MSPs? Is this case a foreboding tale of doom and gloom for MSPs? Well, yes and no. Here's the yes. If you're an MSP, do you have an MSA? If the answer is no, then this is a foreboding tale of gloom. Are you using ambiguous service descriptions? Or do you have inconsistent mechanisms for getting your customers to accept your MSA? You know, some people do, some people don't. Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. If that's you, then yes, this is a foreboding tale of doom and gloom, and it's only a matter of time before your name appears in the caption of a lawsuit. But if that isn't you, if you have a solid agreement in place, if you eliminate ambiguous descriptions and replace them with clear parameters about what a service does and does not do, then this case really means nothing to you. If you take the time and make the investment to cover your MSP from a legal perspective, and you have your customers sign off on the realities and limitations of managed services, then you'll stay out of court. It's as simple as that. You want to talk more about this? You know where to reach me. 954-217-6225, or drop me an email, brad@bradleygross.com, or hit me up on LinkedIn. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next Technology Bradcast. We'll be right back.